Sometimes you have an encounter with the Lord, you have something he's doing in you that is so fresh. When this opportunity to speak came up, I said, you know what? I just need to share a little bit of what God's doing in me. And it's so good to be back with everybody this week, too. I just say that. And I'm really glad that Pastor John took a Sunday off. He probably very rarely gets to do that, but I just pray that it be a really blessed day. And I think the Chiefs ought to win, ideally, you know, just to put that cherry on the top there. They should, anyway. I have had a personal revelation about breaking free from fear. And I believe as I share this message today that there are going to be others who will be able to experience freedom from fear. You know, here's the deal. Little background. I've been very concerned about the nation. I think we should always be praying. The scripture says to pray for your leaders, you know, do it without malice, wrath, lift up holy hands, pray for all that are in authority. And I've felt, like so many of us, this heightened need to press in and pray. And so I've been able to join people like Lou Engle in their prayer initiatives and Dutch Sheets and others. Franklin Graham has something going. I really believe prayer changes things, and prayer brings the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you have a destiny here. I didn't know we were going to do this, but Lord, you have a destiny for America. And we just say that destiny is not finished. And we are glad to be here on the scene right now, ready to participate in what you're doing. And Lord, I'm asking that that would be an awakening that would literally cause the bells of liberty to ring at a new level, because it would be real freedom, freedom in Christ. So that's just I felt like the Lord said, you know, hey, would you be willing to, you know, get up and pray? And, you know, when I've kind of done it as prompted, as led. And it's been good. I've really been pressing in. But it's interesting. Some people in prayer meetings with me, I could say things, you know, like Josh would appreciate this. Others, people on staff. There's been a little bit of an edge on me, and you know, you can always tell somebody with an edge. You know what I mean? It's not that hard. And I felt like, to be honest, what happened is I started finding myself being angry and frustrated at seeing the foundations. And you know, there are some things that are, I think God's going to do some great things. God's going to do something and is doing something right now as far as reconciliation racially, that we can see something happen at a new level. And I think we all know it. We know we're at this hour. But then there are other things that just seem like they're tearing down the foundations of the nation. And I'm thinking that doesn't really need to be torn down. I think that's pretty good. I remember Pastor John preached in September on, you know, the Constitution kind of under attack, and that we need to be praying and people of the Word. So that was all good, and I've really been praying. I believed I've been praying in faith, but yet I noticed this edge, and it kind of came to a head, and I'm not even going to say what I said. But I said something and my words kind of hung out there, and I was able to kind of go, oh, okay. Just looked at that. And so I really had the sense that, you know what, I got to go to God. We've had this soul care class, and it really, it really does, you know, just kind of make me press in and say, I need to go to the Lord and find out what's going on here. And I had the sense that the root wasn't anger, and it really, it was beyond that. I said, I remember, so what happened is Juan and Kurt and I are in a small group in the Soul Care online class this year. And so I said, hey guys, I've been noticing this anger and this frustration, you know, bubbling up. And I said, but I don't think it's the root. I don't think that's the root. I think there's a root of something, you know, I guess, had I thought about it long enough. But, you know, Kurt said, you know, I believe the root is fear. He said there are a lot of people in our nation right now who are dealing with fear. And I'd say there are people dealing with fear on every spectrum of ideologies. It's just so fear is just kind of, we're in a kind of an atmosphere of fear. But I think we need to push against that as the church. We need to push against that fear. And when I realized, he said that, and I said, oh my gosh, you're right, it's fear. And it's almost like, how in the world did I let fear have this kind of control over my soul? And it was actually pretty easy for me at that point, once I realized there was fear there that was creating mixture, I just said, no way, nope, I'm not going to allow fear to control me. That is not who I am. And we're going to look at the scripture, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind, self-control. And so I felt like the Lord just kind of broke me free, and I haven't really felt the same. I felt freedom. How about that? I felt freedom from that fear. Because we can trust God in any circumstance, can't we? We can trust Him in any circumstance. And I do have an outline here, and I'll just because when you pass out an outline, you ought to at least say something about it. You read my paragraph there. I do believe there's an epidemic of fear right now. I said it all across the spectrum in our world. We are facing these incredible challenges presented by the coronavirus, but as I said, I believe that possibly the most dangerous epidemic may actually be fear. Let me just say at the outset, I think, you know what? I was praying, I was doing what the Lord was telling me to do. I was standing my place on the wall. But He said, you got fear in your, get that fear out of there. You don't need that. And there are people responding to this coronavirus, and we don't judge anybody. We don't label anybody. You're fearful. You're not doing this. You're wearing a mask. You're fearful. You know, you know what? I just dealt with this virus. So I'm not judging anybody. And so don't hear that. Do not hear that in this message. I'm saying do what the Lord is telling you to do in faith. And if you feel like the Lord shows you that you've gotten over into fear, then hey, respond to Him. It's Him. It's Him that we need to be sensitive to, His leadings, His promptings. But actually, you know, and I said here, there's ample opportunity to experience fear in our world today. There's the economy is always something that people can be fearful of, and there's political division. There's actually different worldviews. They're pretty stark. There's geopolitical divisions that we're always hearing about, and it seems like at a time like this, we're hearing about other nations, we're hearing about our nation. It's in the water, isn't it? It's just in the water. So the other thing that I thought of, in addition to what's going on out here in the world, what happens is those things trigger fears inside of us, can trigger fears inside of us. So what I'm thinking is we can be unaware of root fears in our souls that can lead to things like defensiveness, control, anger, feelings of unworthiness, rejection and withdrawal from others. Really, fear creates kind of a fight or flight feeling. And I went back and thought about times that I've been fearful, and I thought, I have done quite a bit of fighting, you know, in those fearful times. And you know what? That's not who we are. We aren't people who are fearful. I'm going to tell you who you are. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have a spirit of power. Power to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life. Love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We're people who can love. We're people who can love people of opposite worldviews. Somebody's got to do it. We can do it. We've got it within us because we have a capacity that only people who are tapped into Christ have. So he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He doesn't want us to get worried and, you know, it's part of it. Self-control. I kind of like sound mind. But I don't know. There's lots of great variations of that. But, you know, it's interesting. I was going to say, this interesting thing, this quote by Joyce Meyer, fear is the master spirit that keeps us from the good things of God. I thought, I like that. That's just like, she's pretty bold anyway. Fear is the master spirit that keeps us from the good things of God. And fear is not from God. It's sent out to keep us from moving, from pressing forward. So what does the Bible say about fear? Well, I don't know if you've heard. Some people say there's 365 references to fear not. That sounds good, but as I researched it, I think it's, depending on the translation you use, it's between 70 and 103 references to fear not. But it's interesting. God says at these key moments in the scriptures, and if anybody wants to look at some of those, I've listed them there. This one is that really ministers to me from Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So Jesus tells us not to be afraid. He tells us that in Revelations. I love it. I was dead and I'm alive. I'm the first and the last. You know, you don't have to be fearful. And he speaks to his church, really, as the kingdom is coming on the earth. And he says, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's, I'm reading a different translation in my mind, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. You know what I'd say to you this morning? Fear not, flock. Fear not. We have the power of the kingdom, and we are the ones here on the scene right now to move the kingdom forward. Hey, Josh, as I was sitting here in worship today, you were kind of highlighted to me, and I just want to give you a word, and so I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, would you just speak right now? I feel like that he's stirring in you in a fresh way, and that there have been times in the past where you felt like your faith was kind of writing off someone else's faith. I mean, I don't know your relationship with Ryan Snow, but man, I could write off his faith for a while. It's like he's, you know, and so, but I feel like the Lord is saying to you that he is grounding you and he in a new level. He's strengthening you. Your feet are on the rock, and he's bringing you into a new season. And of course, your faith is your own. But the Lord says, you're going to be an influencer for my kingdom. The Lord says, just wait. Let me show you. There we go. Let me show you. I will show you ways that your words have impact and power and bring freedom and the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, angelic messengers tell us not. They're always telling somebody, fear not. And somebody, when I was reading this, said, you know, one of the reasons is these angels probably look pretty awesome. It's like, by the way, don't be afraid. I'm here from the Lord, you know. But still, they're saying, fear not. And what about the angels that announced Messiah's birth? They said, fear not. Don't be afraid. So there's a resounding witness in the scriptures not to be afraid. Let's look at God's remedies for fear. And, you know, you make an outline and then you realize, oh, I should have done that different or whatever. But let me just say a couple of things. I believe that an antidote to fear ultimately is trust in God. Trust is an antidote of fear, experiencing the love of God. But you know what? Think about this. If you can't trust somebody, do you really love them very deeply? You know what I mean? If you don't trust somebody, it's like, well, I really love you, but I don't trust you. Those kind of situations can happen. But what really happens in a relationship is the trust builds along with, you know, and love is deeper than physical attraction. So let's get off that and say experiencing God's love is a remedy for fear. Fear comes from several places. It comes from a lack of trust. It comes from lies we believe about ourselves, about God. We believe lies. And when we believe lies, we're not lined up with the truth of God's word. And the lack of trust in God, and that's because we need a fresh revelation of God's love for us. So this scripture is probably the one that came to mind when I started talking this morning to almost everybody. If I said, hey, I need a scripture on fear, I bet you a good portion of us would say, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Because we know God's heart, because we know his intention, because he's placed his Holy Spirit inside of us, because we've experienced his love, that love alone, we need to lean into God's love for us and let the fear just dissipate. Because it's in that place of realizing and understanding his love for us that one of the places that fear loses its power. It just loses its power. I was reading some commentaries on this. Alexander McLaren has this exposition of the Holy Scriptures, and I read a lot of them, but I really liked what he said. He said, these two, love and fear, are mutually exclusive. I'm glad he's saying this. It's so authoritative when it's somebody else. The entrance of the one is for the other a notice to quit. That language is like, I don't talk like that, but I love it. The entrance of one is for the other a notice to quit. We cannot both love and fear the same person or thing. And when love comes in, the darker form slips out of the door, out at the door. And where love comes in, it brings hand in hand with itself courage with her radiant face. But boldness is the companion of love only when love is perfected. You know, perfect love casts out fear. What I don't want somebody to do today is say, well, I'm not perfect. It's like, no, you know that's not even right. Don't even go there. It's a revelation of the love the Father has for you that casts out fear. That's the perfect love. His perfect love will cast out fear. And of course, the one that I quoted earlier, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You know, Paul wrote this to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he was in Rome, and really he was at the end of his life. This was it. This was the end of the road for him. And he was telling Timothy right there at the opening of his letter, be strong. Don't be timid. Evidently, Timothy had a there's these personalities that go out and just, like my dad said about one of my friends, he said, he doesn't know, he said, you, this sounds like it wasn't a curse at all. He was saying, you're so gifted, my dad. He said, let me be careful. He said, sometimes you're not confident in what you can do. He said, this other guy is so confident, he doesn't know what he can't do. And it was a very affirming thing. My dad was saying, go for it. You've got no limits on you. And sometimes we can kind of shrink back. We can think like, the truth of the matter is, we can get into this sense of rejection or I'm not good enough, for everybody else, but not me. And Timothy was put in a place of leadership. And Paul had entrusted to him bringing leadership. And he said, I want to stir up courage in you. And I love the way the passage goes. I won't turn to it. But he says, I know who you are in God. He's telling Timothy, guess what? I'm going to tell you who you are in God. He said, there was a faith in your mother. And before that, there was a faith in your grandmother. And that same faith, that transgenerational line of faith is in you, and it's come down from them, and it's come down with more power because you're standing on their shoulders. It doesn't just start with you. There's continuity. God's been doing something. He's been doing something in your life, and this is who you are. You're a man who has a spirit of power. When you don't feel like you can, that spirit of power makes you able to do what God has called you to do. It makes you able to be what God has called you to be. It gives you the power to resist sin. It gives you the power to resist living with no self-control. It gives us the power to share the most incredible truth in the universe. We have the power of God. The power of God is inside us. He's given you a spirit of power, and he's given you a spirit of love, love that can bring unity to division, love that can break through barriers, love that can take that can break down barriers that only the power of love can break down. And he's given you a sound mind. Don't worry. Let's take it that brand. Then self-control. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love's the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of fruit of the Spirit in there, isn't there? Love, self-control. He's given it to you. And I want to say to you guys, I'm saying to me, that's who we are. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. We are his ambassadors right here, right now, on the scene. We're alive at this time, at this place, for a reason. We can either just let it pass us by and say, I remember something happened, or we can get engaged and say, Lord, what do you have for me? How do you want to use me in this season? What have you called me to do? So the peace of God is also a remedy. I guess I'm just going to offer three remedies. This is not like you'll never find anything else about fear, but the peace of God is a powerful remedy to fear. And you know what? You know what you do with the peace of God? You receive it and I'm trying to think of how I want to say it. Let's just do it right now. Lord, we thank you for your peace. Lord, thank you for the peace of heaven that is our portion. It's unbelievable, God. You give us a taste of the atmosphere of heaven. I guess I would even say we have the atmosphere of heaven, the peace of God. We welcome your peace. I love what John Wimber said, "Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence." Here's what he was saying. He wasn't saying the Holy Spirit isn't here. We all know that he dwells within us. But he's saying, we welcome what you're doing right now. We welcome your peace. We welcome your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. I sense the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully in here today, and it was just great to see. I love it when we can respond to God in honesty, and he touches deep places in our heart. So, Lord, we thank you for your peace. We just say that's such an incredible blessing, Lord. God's peace isn't dependent on circumstances, is it? See, that's the deal right there. That's it. It's not dependent. And that's who we are, so we've got to remind ourselves about that, right? Scripture says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." This is the words of Jesus. "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So Jesus is saying the world's not going to give you this peace. You're not going to get peace from the world system. And here's the thing about this. Here's a question that's a little penetrating. I don't even really want to ask myself, but I guess we'll do it together. What alleviates your fears? What would alleviate your fears right now? If you were honest, like say, hey, what would alleviate my fears? And they can be myriad, the fears, you know. I'm not speaking that on anybody. But whatever would eliminate it is what we're kind of putting our trust in. I'd almost like to have group participation. Do we believe that's right? I believe it's somewhere in there. I'm in the zone of being right. That what will alleviate our fears is what we're putting our trust in. So, you know, hey, if this... And then we have to realize, well, wait a minute. Didn't the early church go through persecution? Wasn't this all written to them? In fact, let's go back for a second. Paul was in a Roman prison. He was writing to Timothy, and one of the things he realized was happening, he's in Rome. He sees, he hears, and he knows what Nero is doing, persecuting and martyring Christians. And he says, this may be coming your way, but don't be fearful. I love this translation of Philippians 4 in the NLT. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It's beyond comprehension. His peace passes just mere human reasoning. If you add up all these parts and you get this, that's not his peace. His peace is exponential. His peace is exponential. He gives peace. And it guards. His peace is actually like that's kind of a military term. I remember talking about this one Sunday morning. He's guarding your mind. He says that peace, let me clarify, will put a guard over your mind. And you know, in that It will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so, looking at this, trusting God is a remedy for fear. So, the scripture has always been meaningful to me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? I think that pretty well says it all. What can mere man do to me? The scripture says if we fear the Lord, the scripture kind of, it says this, but somebody quoted, said, if we fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. Amen. So conclusion, you know what? If we can just ask God to show us any root fears that may be in our lives. And we don't, you know what I mean? I love the scripture. This is my go-to scripture, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm not taking on the role of the Holy Spirit. What that ends up being is condemnation. I'm not going to take on the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of showing me if I have, you know, fears. And you kind of know it. You kind of know what you're fearful of. You know what I mean? Even your body sometimes will respond. Your heart races. Things happen physiologically. So, Lord, we just say, show us anything we need to know. And I do believe this quote, this is actually a quote, I don't have his name under it, from Dr. Rob Reimer, who is the person who has authored the book Soul Care, and he's also done a video series. God will often bring us face to face with our fears to be able to help us to be able to overcome them. So when you're in one of those defining moments where you feel like you're face to face, don't be discouraged. Say, wow, this is good. God's bringing clarity. Rob calls it self-awareness. You have to have self-awareness before you can change, right? If you don't have a problem, why would you change? Correct? I call it revelation. If I don't have any revelation, I can't do anything. I have to have revelation from the Holy Spirit. And as followers of Christ, we will experience the temptation to fear. There will be things that can be fearful to us. Here's the deal. We can't allow that fear to form a stronghold. We can't give the enemy any topos, any ground. Don't give any place for the enemy. When we give in to those fears and we start thinking about it and we start really almost, I don't know, when you focus on something, it's borderline giving it worship. So we can't afford to give the enemy any place. Any place of fear. Because why? Because that's not who we are. We have a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. How do we break free from fear? Here's a couple of practical things. Confess and surrender your fears to God. And I think, here's my thing. I do a lot of business with the Lord on my own, but I also like to pray with people. And when I'm being prayed for, it's like, I don't know anything, just pray for me. You know what I mean? It's like if you just present yourself, not exactly like that, but you're really saying, I'm willing to receive. There's something about the power of agreement. Pray for one another, confess your sins, pray for one another, that you may be healed. You can't go to everybody, but maybe you could just say, hey, I just want to confess this. But you know what? There was a transaction that happened in me immediately when I knew there was a stronghold of fear. I said, that's gone. I'm not putting up with that anymore. I was putting up with it, but now that I know it, no way, no how. Not going to happen. So you also, and what I'm saying there is you break agreement with fear. You quit agreeing with it. You say, no, in the name of Jesus, I break agreement with the spirit of fear. And I receive the spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Memorize, receive God's love and supernatural peace. So we've been talking about that. Amen? Memorize and meditate scripture on scripture. What you need sometimes is we have these lies. Here we go again. This is a good advertisement for Soul Care. We have these lies we believe, and what we need to come up with is a truth statement about those lies. Kurt was had a great one. I don't know what it, we won't have to get to call it out, but in his life, it's so powerful. Like, you know, if you feel like you have to perform to get acceptance, you could say, that's a lie. I'm accepted. God loves me, and I'm accepted in the Beloved because of what Christ did for me on the cross. Just whatever works for you, there's a truth statement. You begin to lean into what's the truth. And worship helps align our hearts to truth. And we're going to worship again. We're going to start here right now. Guys, come to the stage. Worship team, that is. You know what? You let a worship leader speak, and, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's like, so I just felt like it would be good for us to close out in worship this morning. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do that. Whoa. Okay. You know what I love about worship, and one of the many things, it's like a plumb line of God's truth. Plumb line is what carpenters used to use before they had stuff that I don't know how to use. And that's the official definition. But it had some kind of weight to where it would, what is it, the gravitational pull on that thing would made it plumb if you held it up. And I believe worship a lot of times is like a plumb line in our heart. God says, this is the truth. This is the center for you. This is your relationship in Jesus. So I just think his plumb line can come and adjust us. If we veered over here into fear, if we veered over here into some other thing, God can bring us back as we focus our hearts on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
Struggling with that today, and sometimes it hurts so much you can't even sing, can't even say the words. And I just want to encourage you that if you take that step, that he will meet you there. That's all he wants. Just take that step and he's going to meet you there. Give me wisdom.
I want to encourage you, if you need a point of contact and you want to make a move into, I know we're all sensitive, but if you feel like I've got to come down here and sing or step out in the aisle, just sometimes a move, it's less about the move, it's about it's like a move of faith for you. If there's something like that you need to do, please do.
Heaven come.
Yeah, fear, you no longer have a hold on us. And so this morning, we want to just take what's happened today, and we just say, we break the power of fear in the name of Jesus. We receive a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in your church. We thank you that we're a part of your church at this hour. We thank you that you are moving, and there is, and what's the saying says, the church is plan A and there is no plan B. So we're plan A, filled with his and empowered with his Holy Spirit. Want to just say to all that are online, we are so blessed to have every one of you with us, joining us here. And we do believe, and we have all experienced, that we can sense the power of your Holy Spirit, the Lord's Holy Spirit, as we worship together. So we just pray, as congregation, let's just pray. We pray a blessing on everyone who is watching online and worshiping with us. Shouldn't say watching, I would say who's joining us online. We pray a blessing on them, Lord. We pray provision. We pray strength, power. Lord, we pray encouragement. We bless you as our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We value your participation. as we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I've said it many times, worship was always special. We just began to realize it a lot more when we weren't able to come together and worship. So Lord, thank you that you've called us together as your people, and that when we come together, you're here in a special, present way, and we thank you for that. Lord, we go forth, you know what I'm going to say, with power, love, and sound mind, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.